the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Rant Wrestling, episode blah blah. I am Pootie KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, and I'm joined here, coming all the way from the side. Ladies and gentlemen, this is West Side Golf.
Yay, yay!
That's it.
That's it.
All right, cool. Next up, the Tweener World Champion, Doomsday. Oh, yeah.
Excuse my lack of enthusiasm. I feel like mad days straight. Just tired.
Mad days straight?
Like 10. And I still got like 3 more days left to work.
Yikes.
So it'll be 13 days straight. Fantastic. But at least I got that Yakuza Kiwami.
Hey!
That's Steel Book Edition, too. That shit baller.
Did you guys know Undertaker wrestled Jun Kasai?
No way, sorry, that's impossible.
Jinsei, what's his name? Hayabusa. Not Hayabusa. The one with all the marks. Jinsei Shinzaki and Michinoku Pro in 97. Taker, he showed up at a Michinoku Pro show in 97. Really? That's just strange. You know, because Vince never lends his people out.
Right.
Yeah. And Legacy chokes, slammed, Jinsei. What was Jinsei's name? The guy with all the kids on his face. What was his name in WWE?
Oh, the
Hakushi, right?
Hakushi?
Was it Hakushi?
The one with the Japanese markings all on his body?
Yeah.
I forgot what his name was.
I don't know. Old wrestler. How about that? Of his name right now.
That guy's one of the presidents of Sendai Girls, so thank you, dude.
Right. You're getting great help here in the wrestling world. All right. Now, speaking of the wrestling world, we're actually going to the ladies first. We're going to talk about the Mae Young Classic that happened. Is it day one, night one? Because it's just 4 episodes. They didn't really like how they did with CWC, which was episodic.
Just say round one.
Round one bracket went underway. I thought it was cool. I liked the atmosphere. Thank God they did it in Full Sail and not anywhere else, because they tried to bring that CWC vibe there. And that was cool. That wasn't that bad. You know, they didn't boo anyone.
They
respected the women.
I like how they dimmed all the lights except like the lights surrounding the ring. So like, it was just the spotlight on them, you know? Because like, you could barely see the crowd, like, during the match.
True. Now, let me start on the right side. I ain't going to go from left to right.
You don't want to go through episode by episode? Because I think that's probably better.
Yeah, that's better.
I don't remember it all in episode.
All right, I kind of remember the episode.
Let me see. I do remember the matches, though. I remember all the matches. I just don't remember all the episodes.
Because every episode had its own main event, and I think it's better to talk about it like that.
Yeah.
Well, the first match, I believe, that was, how you say her name? Shugei?
Suwai.
Princessa Suwai versus Kaylee Ray. From Scotland, and I believe picked Kaylee Ray to go over.
Yeah.
And because she was popular.
Yeah, and also because Suwai is still signed to CMLL, and she actually has a huge match coming up at their anniversary show, which some people say probably has more heat on it than any other match. It's a mass match against Zuasa or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we just didn't think she would be around.
What did you think of this match? This first match that they had.
I thought it thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was good, man.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was cool. I just didn't think she was going to lose. Shit. That was not my plan. Alright, so, yes, Kaylee Ray did lose. Princess UK went to advance. Shayna Baszler, part of the Four Horsewoman. No, the real Four Horsewoman. Going up against Zeta. And she didn't really last long. It felt
so
really
good. So you're doing this left side, right side then, right?
Well, I tried to do it left side, right side.
Because you skipped the second match. That's third match. Second match.
That was the third match?
Yeah, Serena Deeb versus Nessa Bourne was the second match.
I thought that was the third match.
Nope, that's the match before the main event.
Right, okay. Serena Deeb versus Vanessa Bourne.
That was the second match?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember that match existed?
No, I remember it existed. I thought I knew the first one and the last one.
I think she won with Spear, didn't she?
Yes, that girl, Vanessa Bourne, was a cheerleader of some sort for the Cardinals. That's what it was, the Arizona Cardinals.
And it seemed like she was doing well, but Serena Deeb is the more popular one. And yes, she did win with a little smaller, frail little body. But what'd you think about Serena Deeb back in WWE?
She looked alright, she was cool.
Well, she never really wrestled in WWE originally. People seem to forget that. She had maybe one or two matches on national television. I saw most of her matches before and after WWE.
Yeah, well, I remember her from, she did like a couple Ring of Honor shows. I know she was at FCW, well, if anyone ever watched it. She was cool. She knows how to sell for the most part. But it was a very basic match.
It wasn't too strong on this one. I mean, most of the matches I ended up giving at least two stars to. I give that one about that. I actually wrote down star rating for this one simply because a lot of them were very close to each other.
Well, Serena Deeb did win this match. She won with, like you said, the spear. And it's like she didn't get under the arm with the spear, so she just, like, speared the entire body, arms included. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'll take it. The spear's a spear. Now it's Zeta versus Shayna, part of Four Horsewoman. And Zeta didn't really last long because Shayna Baszler basically freed her up like Goldberg did Brock Lesnar. And she was just kicking. Slapped face. The girl tried to do like a takedown, and Shayna looking at her like, "What are you doing?" And then she just choked her out quickly. It was very dominant.
I've never seen that before. Like a suplex turned into a rear naked choke.
I actually had Shiro Erie, who was visiting the American scene for a while.
Yeah, he was using that as his finisher.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah.
Oh, green dude.
I've seen the vertical suplex turn into a crossbreaker, but not a rear naked choke like that. And that was an L that she slapped her in. Like it was legit, and it was under the chin. Felt like you was really gonna pass out if you ain't tap out.
Even though Zeta didn't really get anything to shine, I got a comment that I thought she had a pretty good look going for her. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could have wore her because she looked pretty decent in there with the her you know like her gear. And she was trying to do some takedowns and stuff. I mean, she was screwed from the beginning by pulling Shayna Baszler, but I kind of want to see what... Because apparently Zeta has an MMA background herself, or of some sort.
Oh, everyone that had, like, some type of MMA, karate, fighting style background, whatever, they all took L's, besides Shayna Baszler. Everybody else, gone. But yeah, Shayna Baszler did advance the main event of the show. It was Abby Layeth versus Jazzy Gabbert, also known as the Alpha Female, going up against Kimberly, the first female Shikara Grand Champion. This one was my favorite match out of the first round, tied up with another one that I'll bring up later. But this was my favorite. This was good from beginning to end. And I couldn't tell who was going to win, but I think Kimberly is definitely going to be the Gargano of this tournament. This is how I feel about it. Guys, what did you think of this match? I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I thought it was good. She surprised me. But it shouldn't have surprised Abby Layeth. Actually, it shouldn't surprise it's just strictly for the fact that she has the alligator clutch as a finisher. I should have took it into account when we first when we first were booking the first round.
Was that the pin that she did?
Yeah, that was Mae Young's finisher as well. Wow. So I should have at least accounted for that. Because I could have figured that she at least made past the first, just because they'd at least have somebody bust out that move.
Do you see the WWE keep Alpha Female?
Maybe. Asuka mentioned her as a potential future opponent.
Asuka don't just fucking bow with her. It's fucking weird me saying that, too.
I like both of them. It was the best match of episode one by far, and top five so far of the first round, at least. I liked a couple matches better than this, but I liked it a lot.
I like this one the most, and another match later on. Now, so one will move to episode two. I believe the first match was the Latina sensation Mercedes Martinez going up against Jai Lee. She had a lot of potential, this Lee lady did. Yeah. I liked her. I like how she was doing the kicks and stuff. Even though she's really short, she does a lot of like side kicks, nothing to the face, especially to a taller opponent. But this, I liked it. I liked she did really well, but Martinez did pick up the victory.
Didn't they say that was her first match?
Yeah, this was her first match.
Yeah, so she's got a lot of upside.
Wait, that was her first match ever?
Yeah, ever.
First match ever.
Wow. There's women all over the world who bust their ass to get a WWE contract, and she had her first match in a mid-class. You know, there's women that's probably hating so hard right now.
But, you know, she has a background in stuff. She's obviously very physically fit, very thick. She even did that twisting kick thing that Ospreay likes to do, which I thought was very fancy.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one rotation off of Ospreay's.
Yeah.
Overall, very impressive debut for Jey Uso and Mercedes Martinez, of course, mocking her match, showing a lot of... Because I know years ago people would complain that Mercedes Martinez didn't have a lot of personality or charisma, but you see her, she's just such a good heel, the little things she does. So, yeah, it was a good opening match.
Yeah, it was cool. I felt like she had a lot of offense, and Mercedes Martinez had like maybe four moves in, and by that time it was over.
Yeah, you know, but she's in a trapped drag sleeper with no way of escape. So can't
blame. And how many belts does she have?
Huh?
How many belts does she have?
She has the Shimmer title, the WSU title, NCW Femme Fatale title, and she's half of the Shine Tag Team Champion, so four. And
three
women's world titles, yeah.
She ain't losing in no first round. So if Bracken's... Well, we just saw the second round. I believe Marty Bell and Rachel Evans was next.
And it was the worst match of the entire first round.
It was uncomfortable to watch, unfortunately. And you know that Rachel Evans can probably wrestle. She has that "I've watched wrestling all my life" type of deal. And Marty Bell, we've seen her in Indies a whole bunch of times, and she's part of House and TNA and it just seemed like they just weren't connecting.
Yeah.
Or someone forgot what to do next. The execution really was bad.
It's worse, weird, because Marty was doing some personality stuff. And I guess Rachel was supposed to play the face who was attacking her, but I don't know what went wrong. I mean, if I had to say, the only one who walked out, I thought, looking half decent was Marty, because she at least showed personality.
Yeah.
But in-ring, I would go with Rachel on this one. I thought it was all Marty Bell.
Well, she couldn't remember how she won the match.
That was wrong. They couldn't really excel or what they could do besides Marty Bell, which is our verbal stuff. And her actions, that's where she excels. But as far as in the mat and in the ring, it just didn't seem like they connected. I'm not saying that they're both bad, because it's not true. It's just, that was a bad one. It was like, give me your first impression, that was a bad one. That was definitely the worst out of the first round, by far. Or, period. Because all the other first round matches wasn't as bad as that.
Yeah.
Next off was Miranda Salinas and Rhea Ripley.
Alright, two great intro music right here. Well, specifically Miranda Salinas, That was some great ass entrance music. So I wanted to mention that.
A lot of this even was pretty good for this.
Yeah.
And I like that Miranda. Her music kind of had almost a death metal flair to it, and doesn't seem like the kind of rush for presentation. You know, because sometimes they like to make the music seem central to the wrestler's ethnicity. And this one, they're like, "No, let's just go fuck hard."
And which one was on the cover of like a magazine?
Is that
Ripley?
Maybe. Ripley was one from Australia, I know.
Yes. The tall one with the blonde hair.
That looks like Noelle Foley with Charlotte Body.
Yes, there we go, yes. She won. I didn't really pay attention too much, but
really?
If y'all got any thoughts on it, y'all can.
This was a very good match.
I was
for
on
two
phone.
Women I've never seen before? Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
never seen either one, yeah.
Miranda worked pretty well for someone who was, like, almost a foot shorter than Rhea.
Yeah.
Rhea has a great look, a great presence, and, you know, a decent finisher using the full Nelson slam. And like I said, Miranda, she was pretty good, too, for someone who, according to what I'm reading now, has only had 17 other matches in her career.
Hmm.
So these two have very few matches. Well, it says Rhea has had 69 matches before that. But I see upside to both of these. Miranda has a very good look. She seems very calm in the ring. Same with Rhea. And Rhea's got an imposing nature to her. I like both of these ladies. And this was a great turnaround after that horrendous match that came before it.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, that was unfortunate. Rhea Ripley did win the first round. Main event, Sarah Logan versus Mia Yim. This one was pretty cool. Mia Yim won with the soul food, eat the feet, whatever you want to call it. What did you guys think of this match?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that Sarah Logan was incorporating some stuff that you don't really see outside of Japan. She did the mountain bomb, which only Tenzin ever does. And it looked like she was trying to go for Mako Satomura's cartwheel kick thing, which was that weird cartwheel she tried to go do on Mia Yim before, where she ended up landing on her knee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
So, apparently, Sir Logan's favorite wrestler is Mako Satomura, so it makes sense to take that move. Apparently, at one of the promo things, she was actually being interviewed in a Senda Girl shirt, so, you know. She's showing fandom on her sleeve in a way.
Well, they kept mentioning how as soon as she graduated, she went to Japan to train. So
yeah.
They didn't talk that
she trained with Taka Minoku, though,
yeah.
Which I thought was weird.
Huh.
But yeah, and you know, Mia Yim is great. I'd only seen like a couple of Sarah Logan matches before this, but very, very good match. And I mean, we don't know if Mia Yim isn't signed yet, but I know... But I hope that they do something with Sarah, because she's definitely really, really good. Who knows if they're going to hold her until they get War Machine in.
All right. So now we go to episode 3. This one, I don't know the match order, but it is Aisha Raymond versus Toni Storm. That was first?
No, yeah. Was it?
I think it was.
Oh, here we go.
I'm pulling it up.
Well, we
right
going
now.
With it anyway.
You're right.
And Toni Storm's famous because she's a Progress Women's Champion, first ever in Arrow. Progress
it's
Woman.
Awesome.
And she showed a lot of personality.
Charisma.
Kind of like I was looking at Edge. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe because of how she was just bouncing around the ring while she was talking with her hands. And Aisha Raymond just definitely looked like the underling. The fans were just booing her and just all wanted to see Toni Storm. This is how it is in 2017.
Yep.
Toni Storm definitely won this match clean. But Aisha Raymond did get some offense in. But, nah, it was all about Toni Storm. Definitely a favorite here. So what did you guys think of this match?
I thought it was fine. I wish Aisha did more.
Yeah, she did more.
But she did more wrestler-wise. Toni Storm just had to talk and just move and just show her actions, and that was about it.
Well, this was another one of those problems where you had someone who came in who looked and sounded and moved like a star, so it was kind of, you know, shined over her. I thought her look was nice.
Yeah.
Right, very different.
But I don't see her being like a women's champion or anything like that. Like, I can't.
No, this is why I'm pushing for some sort of women's tag division thing.
You want to keep them all, huh?
I'm not saying keep them all. I'm
seriously
saying,
though.
I think the best thing they can do.
I'm definitely keeping a couple of them.
Yeah, but I think what NXT should do is something like how Raw has a cruiserweight matches, but then they have 205 Live. Do something like that with the women's division at NXT. Have some of the women show do NXT matches, but then give them their own show too, because they have a big enough roster for them, and they can have a women's tag division over there. That way, you could kind of almost 2 hours of NXT, but one is specifically for the women. And one, you know, and then everything comes to a head for the big NXT show. That would be how I would.
Right. Then next matchup, Bianca Belair against Sage Beckett.
Nope, it's Dakota Kai versus Kavita Deville.
That was the next one.
Yep. You. Huh. I mean, we could talk about the third match, which you mentioned right now, Bianca Belair versus Sage Bennett.
It was cool. It gives me that Sage Beckett lost all that weight that she lost before.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to see that, because I didn't even recognize her when I saw her, and then her name was like Andrea and like Evolve or something like that. I didn't know that was her. So it just totally threw me out of the loop. But I like this match, and I'm starting to grow on Bianca Belair. At first, I ain't really, you know, care about the whole hair whip thing, but when she hits you with that hair, that shit fucking
hurts. But the thing is that her athleticism, like, she moves in the ring, she doesn't need that. That's the thing. I don't think she really needs it when push comes to shove.
Yeah, it's a gimmick that they can use to sell her. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's about it.
She's cool. She got a lot of interesting things about her, but she can move. I see her. I don't see her being a new age Funkadactyl or anything. She could be a serious little threat there, Bianca Belair. And Sage Beckett. I like both of them, actually. You want a tag division, and growing the country with all these female wrestlers, I want them to. I want both of them. Sign them.
Yeah. I mean, they benefit from having taller, stronger women wrestling, because it does present interesting dynamics, especially when they go with against young, shorter wrestlers. Like how Alpha Female and Abby Lake went at it. And I think both have a pretty decent upside.
Okay. Now is Dakota Kai versus Kavita Devi. And, man, that orange girl was beating her down. Oh, my God. Dakota Kai did two moves. They wound up beating Kavita Kai. Kavita Devi. And she advances. But I don't know, the Kavita, yo, it felt like she was Kali that can move.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very impressed.
Yeah. Kali that can move. That's exactly what she is.
Yeah. And, that I mean, Dakota, what's her name? Evie?
Yeah, Evie.
Evie, she did, like I said, she did two moves. I like her running Yakuza kick. It's beautiful. Then she does the double stomp. 1, 2, 3, it's over. Yeah. She's beaten the whole match, man. Holy shit.
But they couldn't have let Kavita advance because, from what it sounds like, this is Kavita's first real match.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Yeah, because I think she was training before, like being signed by WWE. But I don't think she really had anything for real up until now.
Apparently Ayesha Raymond was supposed to be really strong. Kavita, who's about the same strength, actually got around to showing it here, which was good.
The first Indian woman.
Which is a very rare move to see done.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and she's 30. She debuted this year. Wow, interesting. Yeah.
Wow, see, because they don't usually go that old for anybody. Yeah, shit.
You know why she was like a Kali? Because Kali fucking trained her ass.
Yeah, that's God right.
Damn, but no, he was actually pretty impressive.
Dakota Kai definitely had this.
Piper Nevin going up against Santana Garrett, who I kept saying looks like a mom, a super mom.
Super mom.
She is super great.
She does,
but it's not a bad thing because she looks great. You know, I like her outfit.
She looks like
super mom.
She looks like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
I think she was Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. I think that's what they said. And even if they didn't say it, I would look at her and be like, she looks like she's dancing for the Cowboy. Maybe it's the boots. I don't know. But Piper Nevin, and in the crowd, they was chanting, you know, let's go Piper. But I kept thinking they said, let's go Viper, because that's what her name was, you know, everywhere. Yeah. But I don't know if they can call Piper Viper. They chanting for her. And she wound up winning the match. Really good match. This is my second favorite. First, this was fantastic, even though Piper Nevin has small hands, and it's very noticeable. But she did really well. Both of them. You know you got to sign both. But Anna Garrett been around for a while. She hadn't gotten signed. But
she's just making more money everywhere else.
That could
be true. We're paying this much in NXT. It's like, I can make more than this wrestling the five companies I'm wrestling.
Yeah, you could. But ain't nobody going to her unless you come to the NXT brand. You know, no one would have known who Bayley was. Some people don't know.
Yeah, some people don't know.
Do you want to risk people trying to know and you failing and not making money, or are you making money?
Man, you're going to make money regardless. And especially even if you leave that WWE company, you're probably going to make even more money. Because you're going to have that WWE stamp on you already.
I don't know. Let's call Aldo Rose and see how much money he made after WWE.
Well, what did you guys think of the match itself?
It was good. I liked it a lot.
And what did I think of Viper?
Yeah, I like Viper. First match I've seen with her.
I want her to win the whole thing. Maybe because she's like a plus-size wrestler and they normally never win anything. So that's who I want to see. I want to see her face Abby Leif, a.k.a. Kimberly. That's who I wanted to see in the finals. I don't care. Episode 4, the final showing for the Mae Young Classic. First match was Candice LeRae.
Yeah.
Versus Renee Michelle, who I swear I've seen somewhere before. Of course, you know, Johnny Gargano's in the crowd, so you know Candice is going over, and she did. I forgot what she won with. But
she did Joey Ryan's mustache ride.
Yeah,
which they changed the name of.
What did they call it?
I don't know. It's the mustache ride. That's the name.
Yeah, I called it the mustache ride. That's exactly what I called it when I saw it. But yes, Candice LeRae did win. It's good to see her there.
Renee Michelle was kind of forgettable. I honestly can't remember anything she did.
I think she did a lot of poses. Like if she was like. She reminds me of what WWE was a couple of years ago before it started getting serious, quote-unquote, women's wrestling division, whatever. Because now you got, you know, Charlotte Bailey, Becky Lynch, and, you know, Sasha Banks and stuff like that. She, to me, wouldn't fit that mold. She would probably be around the Eve Torres era of the that whole thing, or maybe the Candice Michelle era somewhere around there. But she was cool. I mean, she wasn't bad. We already know how Candice LeRae works, you know. But
it was just when I was watching it, I was like, Candice is so much more interesting. She's wrestling men because she just so I don't know why. I was just like, they should have had her wrestle a guy in the first round. I don't care.
But that's because she always wrestles guys, so you never even see her wrestle any women.
I've seen her wrestle a couple women before.
I rarely see her wrestle, especially even in tag matches. It's not boy-girl versus boy-girl. It's boy-girl versus boy-boy. And it's never any other girls. It's rare for me to see her the other women. You know, she probably even thinks she's above everybody else because she wrestles a lot of men. I don't know. I do not know what the second match is. So I'm going to go with Lacey Evans versus Tanara Conti.
Yeah.
All right. And Lacey Evans is the mom that fights for America.
Yeah, she's a glow character.
Yes, there we go. Thank you. Yes, the glow character definitely advanced.
I mean, I would have lost my shit if just broke out into a rapid.
Oh, man, like they did. Oh, my Jesus. Only thing that got on my nerves was her hair. Like, it was long as fuck, and it felt like it was getting in the way. I do not know why.
That's America you're making fun of.
Look, they all have long hair. For some reason, this one just felt a little unnecessary. Just shorten the hair up just a smidge.
That electrification hair right there. She had to get it everywhere.
I get it. Yeah, I guess. But what you guys think of the match itself?
I think Doomsday stepped away from him. Oh, I don't know what he will have to say, but I liked it. I mean, I don't remember much of Lacey Evans' offense, but I mean, when she did the fundamentals fine. Conti, I don't know how many matches she's had, but I thought she looked really good with even her lack of wrestling experience, because she actually threw in some legitimate judo moves. I'm trying to think. What did Evans won with the jig and tonic crunchy, which I was like, holy! She said she won with the pile driver.
Yeah, the dude buster, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, you know,
I forgot it was called the jig and tonic, man.
And it's called, he calls it the crunchy too.
Yeah.
So I was like, holy shit! So Lacey Evans has the best picture of all the women wrestlers right now, as far as I'm concerned.
What about the mustache ride?
No, I'm sticking with the jig and tonic as the best finisher of all the female wrestlers. All
right.
But, they both had very little. I mean, Conti, it says Conti wrestled at least 10 matches. And I guess Evans has had to have wrestled at least twice that. But still pretty good for the first
time
because
she was on NXT doing some matches
before. She had a few televised ones on NXT, at least.
Yeah.
Good showing from both women.
Yeah, so Lacey Evans did win that one. Renea Gonzalez versus Nicole Savoy was next. And when I saw Nicole Savoy, I immediately thought Reigns because of the hair, the gloves, and the tattoos. And the skin tone. So I just called her the female Roman Reigns. Now, Renea Gonzalez with the ass caps and the fucking mask on her face. I thought she was going to take it off. She left that bitch on.
She left that bitch on, yeah. I don't get it.
Why did you leave it on? I don't know. You're going to have the cowboy pants. At least have the whole pants, not the holes in the pants. I don't like her outfit. It's because she had that mask on. She did not need that thing on. Probably was a bitch to wrestle in. But yes, Nicole Savoy definitely won. I don't know about this. This one was okay, but I was so distracted because of the damn mask. But what did you guys think of it?
It was whatever. I mean, well, it was just kind of, fine.
Yeah. Doomsday.
Yeah, I thought it was right.
Yeah, it was fine. Main event, Tessa Blanchard versus the very hyped Kairi Sane. She was going to be the Kota Ibushi of this whole team. She's the only Japanese person in the tournament right now. And it was cool. Like, she has that charisma of a regular old Japanese wrestler. So, and Tessa Blanchard definitely showed out here. Keep that one. Or sign her or do something with her.
But Kairi signed.
No, Tessa Blanchard. I know Kairi signed, yeah. But what did you guys think of the match?
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
All the main events for each of the show. And this one, you can always tell because all the main events, it felt like, you know, they were all worked by people with a lot more experience. And, I mean, and, you know, you coming from Japan, you're used to work, you know, you're used to having to work that good if you're a top person. You know, she was one of the aces of Stardom. This is actually the first time I've seen Tessa Blanchard, and she did not disappoint for someone who's got a lot of hype behind her.
Yeah, you're dating Ricochet.
She got on WWE TV before Ricochet.
Well,
Ricochet got that contract. You know?
That's his goddamn fault.
Yeah, WWE's fault.
What?
WWE had a chance to sign Ricochet, and they said no.
Oh, they definitely did. I forgot all about that.
I forgot about
that. Then he was like, well, I guess I'll sign with this Lucha Underground and see where that takes me.
Right, yeah. Waited too long.
Yeah. Damn. But yeah, that was the Mae Young Classic first round. I guess we're gonna go book here the second round.
Alright, let me pull up my document. Let me just tell you real quick, let's see. Doomsday was wrong, Alpha Female to win.
Gotcha.
We all picked El Ring to beat Marty Bell. We all picked Kaylee Ray, we were wrong there. We all picked Martinez to advance, we all picked Savoy to advance, we all picked Ray to advance. We were Doomsday actually picked Sarah Logan to beat Mia Yim.
Yeah.
He was wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong.
We all picked Baszler to win, obviously. We all picked Cyan to win.
Actually, all split with Bianca Belair and Beckett. Doomsday was wrong, and so it was Booty. Me and Joel were right on Belair. We all picked Evie to win. We were right there. We were all right with Ripley. We were all right with Deb. Drew was the only one to pick Piper Niven to win. Pootie actually picked Conti to Lacey Evans. We all picked Storm. So that's how we did the first round matches. Okay, I'm ready to write down the second round brackets and our picks.
All right, so what I have here, I'm going from left to right now. On the left side of the bracket, Abby Leth going up against Rachel Evers. And I'm going with Abby Leth.
I am too. Rachel Evers is just not going to...
She might have a better out. I swear it was Marty Bell's fault.
Yeah, I think it was Marty Bell's fault.
I would rather
That's my opinion.
Because I've seen Evers wrestle on NXT, and she's had better matches there than what she had against Marty Bell. So, yeah. I'm going with Lathe.
Yeah.
All right, we're all down with Abby Lathe. Got it.
All right. Next up is Princess Sui. Hi. There we go. Thank you. Versus the Latina sensation Mercedes Martinez. I'm going with Martinez.
Yeah, me too.
I am as well.
All right. Nicole Savoy going up against Candice LeRae.
Candice.
Candice. I'm probably going to go with Candice as well.
I agree.
Hopefully that'll be a good match. Hopefully.
Savoy could actually hit those suplexes they were talking about.
Right. Yeah, right. No, could do that shit with fucking Maslow. Mia going up against Shayna Baszler, Queen of Spades. Definitely going with Shayna Baszler.
Of course. Almost definitely.
They apparently wrestled at least once before, so there's some familiarity there. And they're very good friends, too, according to their her Instagram.
All right. Next, that was on the left side. Now on the right side of the bracket, Kairi Sane going up against Bianca Belair. Wow.
I don't even think we need to ask.
That's unfortunate. Kairi Sane, man. You are definitely going over. Boy. Next up is Dakota Kai going up against Rhea Ripley. What do you guys think? I'm going to let y'all
answer. This is a hard one. I mean, visually, I can see Ripley going over, but Dakota Kai has the experience and she could prove it. Because so far, we're booking a lot of these almost based on, you know, who's signed and who's more experienced. You have to imagine one of these could be an upset. I don't know.
Going with Rhea Ripley. I'm gonna just pick that.
I'll throw in for Kai as an upset. Another match where she beats the taller woman.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm gonna go with Kai.
All right.
How dare you guys go against me? How dare you? Serena Deeb going up against Piper Nevin.
I know who you're going with.
I'm going with Piper Nevin because I want her far. But
I got
Serena Deeb beats her, I won't be surprised.
I got Deeb.
What's your last name? Deeb.
Okay, I'm going to go with Piper too.
Yeah, suck a Doomsday. Next up is Toni Storm, Progress Women's Champion, going up against America's Lacey Evans.
Oh, Toni Storm, of course.
Storm, yes. I'm actually interested in this match because you have two blondes from two different countries. You have America versus Australia. And this is not the first time America and Australia has fought against one another. The Battle of Brisbane. I don't know. I just listened to that today. Where Australia was that Americans were basically dating all their women.
Hold on, what'd you say?
There was something called Battle of Brisbane I heard about today. It was during World War II when the U.S. soldiers were stationed in Australia. And apparently all the Australian women just wanted to date, including black men, so.
You know why?
And apparently America also, U.S. actually exported racism to Australia when it came to black people.
Because
Because apparently black the white Australians were like, oh, these black people are pretty good, and the white women in Australia were like, oh, these black people are real. White Australian, I mean, the white American men, like, nah, segregate them here too.
Nigga.
Yeah. But, you know, the black men got some Australian babies after that.
But even
one.
Before that, they were persecuting the Aborigines.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently black people ranked above Aborigines with Australian women.
Jesus.
But yeah, apparently there were...
Yo, it's the accent, man. It's the accent and the swagger, man. That's yeah. Why. Because Australians have that swagger, man.
They were just ripping... Yeah, I was listening, it was on the dub, and they were saying that a lot of the women liked the Americans better because they were dressed better, they were more approachable. They had a lot of the Australian men at the time would just get together as a group and try to be overly manly or some shit. But, yeah. But yeah, they actually had to escort Australian women to safety during the Battle of Brisbane.
He's spreading that history knowledge, yo.
I'm just bringing it up. Of course, this is an Australian man versus an American man, which would have been better to bring it up with. I just thought that was funny because I heard it today. All right. So, we'll talk about the other tournaments after this because I... Pootie really wants to talk about John Cena and Roman Reigns.
Yes!
John Cena!
Everybody hates John Cena. Everybody hates Roman Reigns. Granted, I wasn't going to watch Raw. No one gives a fuck about watching Raw. You know, and then all of a sudden they said, yeah, Roman Reigns is going up against John Cena in a promo battle. And afterwards, everybody's like, oh my, John Cena just buried Roman Reigns. First of all, when did people start caring about Roman Reigns being buried, because that's not really the case. Because, yeah, Roman Reigns did stutter. I'm surprised you guys haven't even seen this.
I saw clips of it on Twitter, but I don't watch Raw. Like,
Raw neither, but I had to find this. To find this and see what they said.
You know how they have, like, trends and shit like that on Twitter, like, when you search and whatever? They had that at the top of it. And I was like, yeah, I'm still going to pass. Because it was talking about them breaking the fourth wall or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm still going to pass. Still going to pass. Yeah.
Well, you know, first of all, when you talk about Cena, he always flips it and turns it into, like, a big joke. You know, he did it with The Rock. He did it with CM Punk, of course, The Miz. You know, but... Roman Reigns did say some things. Cena definitely carried the promo. Like, fucking Roman Reigns over there stumbling over his words. And Cena's like, hey,
I think the problem with is because they basically tried to make Reigns talk a certain way based on script. And whereas John Cena didn't have that kind of pressure on him through most of his career. So Reigns is trying to do the promos. You imagine as he thinks that based on what the writers want and how he thinks the writers, Cena can go off screen and care. Yeah. This is really a case of WWE should have done more to tease guys improv rather than, oh, you should memorize this fucking script.
Well, one part he did memorize, and he's just like, Roman Reigns is like, well, I've done something that you have never done, and that's beat Undertaker at WrestleMania, which I did want John Cena to do. I wanted John Cena to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania, but they just never did it. Why? I don't know, but did defeat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, yeah, you do have that belt. So Roman is like, honestly, I don't need to fight you, John. Like, I beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. You can't say that. You can't even say you even fought the dude. I remember Cena fighting Undertaker. I think he did back in the day, but Roman Reigns does have that one up on John Cena. So Cena replies by saying that, yeah, you beat a cool old veteran with a bad hip. Who can't?
Bruh.
You know? And, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
He's basically saying...
Like he was washed
already. What fans are saying.
Yeah.
You know? And now John Cena is like, he's saying Reigns is a John Cena bootleg, ripoff of John Cena because of how the fans treat him. You know? And John Cena is also saying he can do this more part-time. And Roman Reigns can do it full time, which is really just lit a fire under Roman because that nigga, he tried everything to come back. And he called him a little bitch twice, you know, to get the fans to say, ooh, but of course Cena's like, yo, come on, you, all you got? Are you finished? Are you done? Like, it didn't even matter. Not, it was Aces Man John Cena. There is something that Roman Reigns did say that I couldn't forget. And he said, you know, you got the shovel. You can go ahead and bury all the young talent that you normally do. You do this all the time. You know, and maybe, I wouldn't say he buried the young talent, but talk to Rusev. We could talk to Bray Wyatt.
Oh, shit.
AJ Styles, I mean, you don't want to, you know, you can talk to him, but look at where he's at. He's not the top guy anymore. He's not the face that runs the place. It's still going to be John Cena, whether, you know, he's winning or losing. And then what Roman Reigns was saying, dude, you bury all the young talent, but honestly, I'm the only guy that you can't see. And I thought, and I was like, WWE, this is their next guy. This is the guy. For the past maybe 3-4 years, it's been Roman Reigns. Only one that probably can't touch him right now? Well, I mean, granted, can't Brock Lesnar either, you know. But he's probably on the way out. Anyway, he's not here to stay that long. Roman Reigns is. And I think John Cena really can't touch him. He can't do nothing to this guy. Because, yeah, he did get popped with the wellness. But like, he's here with John Cena. So it didn't even matter. And John Cena came back and said something about him having the U.S. title that he did elevate. Yes, he did. He had the open challenge and made that thing worth watching. But when Roman Reigns got it, it seemed like he had it as a demotion, you know, as he just carrying it on his back. He doesn't even care about being the U.S. champion. He kind of demoted the title that John Cena worked so hard for. And if I was him, I would think that having that U.S. title, that's not what you're here to get. Yeah, you have the U.S. title, and yeah, it would be a great thing you have it under your belt, but you come there to get the main title. You come there to get the Universal title or the WWE championship. You know, that's how I would see. You know, but, and another thing, like, John Cena said, yeah, he could do this more part-time than he can full-time. I would have turned to the crowd and been like, is that what y'all want to see? Y'all want to see John Cena full-time? And watch the fans just boo John Cena, but Roman Reigns, He got flooded, yo. He did. He kind of froze. He kind of froze.
Flustered.
Yeah, yes. Flustered, fluttered, blank, stared, tried to make something on the fly. And John Cena just like, yep, I heard it before. This is nothing, you know. But, man, poor Roman Reigns. Now they're saying that, yeah, he got buried and stuff like that. I wouldn't say that he got buried. But after this, I don't hear this anymore. Roman Reigns is done.
He is cooked.
They might be looking for a new guy, you know?
He is cooked.
Yeah, he's done. And John Cena wins again. And the funny thing is, Roman Reigns is going to win this match. You know? He's going to win. And that's the bad thing about it, because I feel like John Cena should win just because he tore him up on Mike. You know? But that's my whole thing on it. And y'all have seen it.
I saw that bit on...
No, you gotta watch the whole thing. It's only like 16 minutes. I skipped a little bit of front. You know, the intros and all that stuff. But you gotta see that shit. Right, that's it. I'm done. That's all I had to say about that shit.
Okay. We're skipping Raw and SmackDown because no one cares.
Yeah, no one gives a
shit. I did catch the 6-man tag match on 205 Live with Nice, Dar, and Drew Gulak versus Grand Metalik, Cedric Alexander, and Enzo. And the fans seemed to be into it. Enzo cut a promo. He insulted Nice and Gulak. To be honest with you, the heels didn't look that good, though. I mean, Gulak looked pretty well. I can't remember a damn thing Nice and Dar really did. The faces were, showing off. Did some nice stuff. It was okay. Enzo cheated to win, so they're not.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Only thing I cared about on Raw was the fact that Nia Jax finally took out Alexa Bliss. So now there's going to be something going on with that.
Thank God she took her out, but I'm still looking at this like, why the fuck did you even give Sasha Banks a damn title?
Right?
For her to have it for 14 days? Something like that. So, this has got to be another short reign for her. What, time champion? 5-time champion? With a combined maybe like 80 days?
No one cares. Apparently she's lost. Every title defense she's had, she's lost it.
On Raw? Wait, no, she normally wins it on Raw.
No, no, no. Yeah. Every title defense she's had.
Oh.
So when she, like, she, if she wins it on Raw, she'll lose on the pay-per-view. If she wins on the pay-per-view and it's on, it's a Raw match that she defends it, she'll lose that shit and she'll lose it. Either way, she's lost every single defense she's had. She has not successfully defended it, period. Point blank, period.
So that means she's trash?
Basically.
Is she not as good as we did? Is she injured again?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Exactly, and that's sad, because we know Sasha Banks is really good. And I know she's like, man, oh, should have just stayed down NXT. But then again, you would have got ran out of NXT because you undid everything already. You know, but at least she was being used. Now who's being used? It's Nia Jax. Now it's her turn now, you know? So, and we all saw this.
Cut down Sasha Banks and have Nia Jax beat her. I mean, Sasha Banks has beaten Nia Jax a few times on Raw. I think there's more, but I guess they wanted, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, they're hot on carrying this title. Care. That's something I didn't like. That's why I put the air quotes behind the, you know, focusing on the women's wrestling. Because now, you multiple champions. I mean, well, you have multiple champions, but they also have title reigns as well. Unlike the NXT Women's Championship, which I don't think anyone has ever held twice yet. But that's a little different. I'm not compared to. Like, it's been, what, maybe on Raw, I would say 4 or 5 women's champions. It was Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Alexa Bliss. I don't recall anyone else holding it. But they all have multiple titles. Like, it's just them. No one else has held it. So Nia Jax being the new one, she might be able to. But we'll see. But like the hot potato title around, and I don't think that's fair. Keep it on one person. Build it. Do what they did with Neville. You keep that title on him and let it build.
Yeah, you know? But they even though they bounced that title around before Neville anyway.
Yeah, but look what they did when it finally landed on someone they can actually use. They kept it on him, took it away from him for what reason, I don't know. But they put it right back on him because they probably had a big mistake. Yeah, so you can take it as how it is. They're probably going to flip-flop their title back and forth anyway. Sasha should not even be touching the title. I think that's what WWE wanted them to have them do anyway. So, it is what it is.
So, do we want to talk about the PWI, I guess? I don't know.
PWI?
I have the full list.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we can go with that. PWI did top 500. We're not going to go through all the 500. I don't even know where to find the list, but I'll find it somewhere in there. Westside, I believe you have the top 50?
I do have the top 50. Hold on. It's right here. Number one, do you want me to do 50 or... I don't know how you want me to do this. I did the top 25. How about that?
Well, that's fine. All right. 25 and up.
25 is Brock Lesnar.
Wow, you made the list. Unbelievable.
Do you want to guess who beat Brock Lesnar at 24?
Is it Dolph Ziggler?
No, but Dolph Ziggler is higher up than he should be.
Ew.
Do you want to guess where Dolph Ziggler is on this list?
No.
Yo,
Dolph
Ziggler had such a tight promo on SmackDown last night. I just muted SmackDown, and it honestly, once I muted SmackDown, I think that's the reason why I forgot to watch the rest of SmackDown, because I muted it and let it play on, and I fell asleep.
Who's 24?
It's all Dolph Ziggler's fault. God damn it.
Actually, looking at this list, I probably should talk, because some of these 50 on the top 50 are stupid as fuck. First of all, Baron Corbin's 49. I don't get it.
He's doing top 25.
Yeah, but I looked at where Dolph Ziggler was. Like, I got to start mentioning how terrible some of these are. But yeah, Baron Corbin's 49. I guess it's all cool that Hiromu Takahashi, I would have put him a little higher because he had a great title run. Whatever. Rusev's 46, yeah. Rusev is 44. Did he deserve to be 4 this year?
I mean, he did take those, and he got his hair cut, so he might have.
surprised he's up there.
Sami Zayn is stuck right between Nick and Matt Jackson, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
But Hiroshi Tanahashi is only 39. And now here's a list of some of the Hiroshi Tanahashi. TJ Perkins. Braun Strowman, which is that one I understand. Dolph Ziggler, I kind of understand. Marty Scurll, but Mahal, I guess he won the title? Maybe.
But I don't think he should be that high. He just got back.
Higher up at 32 than Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Gross.
Dolph Ziggler beats Cody Rhodes at 33. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yeah, well, Cody Rhodes just started going indie at his stage.
But does Dolph Ziggler deserve to be higher up than Cody? What did Dolph Ziggler do last year?
Lose to Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam. He also had a good match of the year, candidate Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
So, can't say he someone had a match of the year candidate for Cody Rhodes. Can't say that.
Does TJ Perkins deserve to be higher up than freaking Tanahashi? I don't fucking know. Eddie Edwards is 27. He beat Finn Balor. I didn't even know Eddie Edwards was. Eddie Edwards actually just won GHC heavyweight title, first foreigner to do it. But that's after this, the cutoff. So I don't know what Eddie Edwards did to make 27. All right, well, going back, so Lesnar 25. 24 is the man with multiple last names depending on which promotion he's working this week. That's right, Johnny Doe.
Oh, yeah.
Number 23 is Katsuyori Shibata. 22 is Crico. 21, Will Ospreay. 20, Kushida. Number 19, I read this name as I can't see him.
What is it? What does it say?
Oh, is it John Cena?
What is it? Sound it out. Cena. Oh, why don't you just say John Cena? You can read that.
Well, sometimes that was you just part can't of the see joke,
man. Oh,
Bobby Lashley was 18. Christopher Daneen. Seth Rollins, 16. Oh, here's a great joke. Bray Wyatt is 15.
He's a loser.
I guess that Elimination Chamber win really counted. Really gave him the top 25 boost. Number 14 is Adam Cole, baby.
Yep, new signee, man.
Number 13 is Randy Orton.
Yeah, of course.
Number 12 is completely wrong because he should be up higher, but Tetsuya Naito is not in the top 10 for some reason.
That's still good. That's pretty high, though. For him,
I mean, it is an American list. They don't like to put.
I think that's the highest he's ever been, probably. Maybe. For Naito, I never heard him in top 20.
Because you could argue and say that he is top most popular wrestler in Japan now, and yet he's number 12. Number 11 is Neville.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in top 10. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number 10 is a wrestler who deserves far fucking more than fucking WWE gave him at SummerSlam. I'm talking about The Miz.
The Miz is top 10, huh?
Yep. Honestly, that's still really, really good. But that's SummerSlam.
Was he number one time?
Maybe. Bobby Roode was number 9.
Yeah, good on him.
Even though most of his matches were pretty 3-star-ish. Number 8 is Samoa Joe. Are you ready to get a
Number 7
is our least favorite wrestler of last year and the guy we voted worst match of last year.
Ambrose?
Yes.
Ew.
He's higher than I.
Number 7.
Ooh.
Number 6 is Shinsuke Nakamura.
All right, he's
number 5 is Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Number 4 is Roman Reigns.
Of course.
Number 3 is Kevin Owens. Number 2 is AJ Styles. And number 1, first time this ever happened, a New Japan wrestler, a Japanese New Japan wrestler, took it as Kazuchika Okada.
Out of all times he's been the greatest, this is his first note he took. That's a shame. He probably should have been number 1 a couple of years ago. But, yeah, all right, that's cool. Okada, never get injured, always stays champion. Probably going to break the IWGP heavyweight title for most champion. That seems like that's happening.
Yeah, because I don't think he has a single title defense throughout October, so he can't really lose. So the Destruction Tours are going to be headlined by the NEVER title, the Intercontinental title, and the U.S. title.
Oh, yeah, because they got to get that thing established, too, the U.S. title.
Yeah, we all know Juice Robinson is losing that one.
Yeah, he is.
Why the fuck is Dean Ambrose number 7?
He's no member. We got Roman Reigns. Wait, where was Seth Rollins?
Oh, he was in the 20s, I believe. He did not rank as high as Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose for some reason.
No, because he hurt.
Yeah, for the people who don't know, the list runs from July 1st of 1 year to June 30th of the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he was out for a portion of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, he was.
So that was that. DUI, and I don't know when the women one comes out. And the women one is only 50, but I think they can start doing at least 100 for that one.
I think we could slide in 100. I like 50. Like, honestly, for PWI, I'd rather have it be 50.
Plus, if they did 100, that would force them to actually watch more wrestling outside of the States. And, you know, they don't like doing that. There's some pretty decent women in Mexico, and definitely a lot of wrestlers in Japan. All right, so what are we booking now? Are we booking Battle of Los Angeles, King of Trios, and then doing news? Or are we going to do news and then book King of Trios and Battle of Los Angeles?
Do the booking first. Leave the news last. Do the King of Trios one first, if you have it up. If you don't,
I have it. Let me just make a page so we can... I don't know if we're going to write this down. I'll make a page just in case. All right, so King of Trios 2017. First time is going to be over in England. It is taking place in Birmingham. Alright, so here are the round one teams. We have, they're doing a Game of Thrones game. Every year has a gimmick. So this one is, so they're doing it all by houses. So we have House Rot, which I believe is the house that's run by Hollow Wicked. So it's Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, and Cole, taking on House Body Slam, which is a team from one of the many countries in Europe we did not know had wrestling. I can't tell you which country because I do not know. I have the names of the guys, though. And none of them have a Wikipedia page, so there's that. But, yeah, okay. So basically it's team versus team, Body Slam from a country we never heard of. And on that principle, I would think Hollow Wicked's team would win just because.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hollow Wicked.
All right. And I'll just write Body Slam here. And okay. Next up is a team that will definitely go to round two, and it's another team we're no one's familiar with. The team we're not familiar with is Team White Wolf, which I want to say is from Spain, I believe. A kid, Adam Chase, and Zaya. Get on Team House Strong Style, which is the WWE UK champion Pete Dunne and Mustache Mountain. Is there even a choice?
No, there are not. Yeah. Definitely choosing Mustache Mountain and Pete Dunne. What are their names in Progress? It's British Strong Style, right?
Yeah, British Strong Style. So yeah, that's the one there too. The next one we have House Sport versus Casa Dorada, which is basically two Chikara teams. Casa Dorada is Juan Francisco de Coronado, as well as the newer tag team guys. Chikara, Cornelius Crummles, and Sonny DeFarge, which I've only watched them wrestle once. They basically look like window sweepers from like, chimney sweepers from like the 1800s. You guys have seen Mary Poppins, right?
Yeah.
They look like those kind of guys. Except without no singing and dancing, and they look disgusting. And House Sport is the team of the Throwbacks, Dasher Hatfield and Marco, Mark Angelicetti, team up with Simon Grimm, a.k.a. Simon Gotch.
Oh, that's where he is now. Is he there full-time?
Nah, he's just doing this one. I'm going Throwbacks myself, but, you know.
I will go with Throwbacks. What is it, House of Sport?
House Sport, yes.
Okay.
All right. Next up is last year's winners, House Sendai Girls, Meiko Samura, Dash Chisako, and Cassandra Mandy, taking on the newest Chikara trio, because they needed a new major trio with a lot of the which is House, what's her name? Cyberhawk, Nighthawk, Razorhawk, and Silverhawk. One of these guys is the Young Lion. I really like how the guys look. I don't know if they're any good wrestlers, but they have a pretty amusing little 80s superhero cartoon look going for them. But let's be honest, I think last year's winners are going to go next round.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sendai Girls. All right. Next up, we have House Revival versus House Seven Seas. I have no clue who the fuck either one of these are. House Seven Seas. Oh, these are Chikara, Cajun Crawdad.
I heard of Hermit Crab.
Hermit Crab and Cajun Crawdad are a tag team. They're kind of amusing just because of how weird the gimmicks are. Oh, here we go. Hell yeah, House Revival. Johnny Moss, Jody Fleisch, and Johnny Storm.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Gotta go Revival. Sorry.
Team Revival versus Team Seven Seas. Yeah.
Zeus and Johnny Storm and Jody Fleisch.
Apparently, Jody still do the 720 Tornado DDT.
That was an accident. Don't let the people lie to you.
No, I saw a gif of him now with his muscles. He's still doing high-flying shit. Team Revival. Okay.
I'm going with Team Revival. I don't give a fuck.
I am now suddenly hyped for that match. I want to see that. I'll probably watch this because I always watch King of Trios.
Yeah. All right. Crab, man.
Oh, Hack versus... Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Sorry. House Sport was not the throwbacks. House Sport is another European team. Made up of Danny Boy Collins, James Mason, and Mal Sanders. For some reason, I thought... So that's who's facing off against Juan Francisco's team. So I'm changing my pick on that.
Okay. The throwbacks is facing who?
The throwbacks are facing a team from Attack Pro. So Attack Pro Wrestling will be represented by... Where are you, Attack? Oh, not Attack Pro Wrestling. Well, I don't know who these guys are. So somebody named Chief Deputy Dunn, Jim Obstruction, Lee Obstruction. I have no fuck who these guys are.
Hmm. Well, if you don't know who they are, you might as well go with the throwbacks.
Yeah. I thought, isn't Attack Pro Wrestling a European
company? I believe it is a European company, yeah. And if they are being in London or Birmingham, whatever the hell, then yeah, I see that happening.
All right, here we go. The bike cops, which are the cop from and the two bike dudes, versus House Calamari, another European wrestling promotion. Oh wait, no, Calamari, Chris Brooks, Elijah, and Kid Lyko. Some of those guys are in progress, right?
Yeah, Kid Lyko's he teams with I think Chris Brooks, or he teams with Elijah. He's in a tag team. I do know who Kid Lykos is, because every time he's about to talk, he tells him, like, shut up right before he does that shit.
He's the mask dude, right?
Yeah, with the long sleeves.
Yeah, this is part of their tag team. Okay.
All right, so I'm going with Calamari. Yeah, I'm going with them.
All right, last one is Team Fight Club. Kyle Fletcher, Millie McKenzie, and Omari versus Furies, Fire Ant, Solo Darling, and Travis Huckabee.
I heart Huckabees.
Give me that. The Huckabee.
Yeah, I haven't seen him wrestle. He's supposed to be pretty good, but I like Solo Darling's look. I've only seen a couple matches with her, and you know I like Fire Ant, so. All right, so that's first round. Like round. Okay, so based on this, we would have Hollow Wicked's team taking on Pete Dunne's team.
No.
Strong Style versus Team Rock. Actually, it'd be pretty interesting to see Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, and Cobalt, and Mustache Mountain, and Pete Dunne. I mean, they kind of know each other somewhat. Some of these guys have wrestled each other.
Cobalt, I think Strong Style is there, going to the
finals, right?
I'm going to pick Strong Style.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense that they went to the finals. I mean, he's the UK champion, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. All right, Team Casa Dorada, because I got Team Sport mixed up, versus Sendai Girls.
Sendai.
Yeah. Sorry, Juan Francisco, whatever.
Yeah, you gotta get up out of here.
Yeah. All right, next up we have Team Revival with Jody Fleisch and Johnny Storm taking on the Throwbacks.
I'm going to go with Throwbacks. Those guys ain't going to... Unfortunately.
Yeah, they're there to pop the older British fans. All right, Team Calamari with the Progress Tag Team guys versus Team Furries with Fire Ant, Huckabee, and Solo Dark. I would imagine it had to be Calamari to go forward.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them, too.
All right, so next up, and this would match I would actually really like to see, is Team Strong Style versus Sendai.
Jeez.
I want to see Mako Satomura versus Pete Dunne. Actually, I want to see Mako Satomura versus any of those motherfuckers.
Any of those guys. Strong Style. They're hot right now, yo.
I don't think that girl's going... I don't think two in a row. Oh.
Nah. Last year was appropriate because it was, you know, female trios team versus female trios team. They ain't getting no more after that. Gotta give it the Strong Style.
Yeah. I guess Calamari would go, so we could have two British teams in the finals.
In England? Hell yeah.
So then, Team Calamari versus Team Strong Style. But keep in mind that I think only once has an... Or, I mean, they're both outsider teams. But really, does Chikara put the winners as, like, the super odds-on favorite? I mean, well, the closest was the year Bullet Club took on Team AAA.
They lost.
Yeah, Bullet Club lost with AJ Styles and the Young Bucks.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, no predictable, but at this point in time, with the how King of Trios is now, this is not a bad team to go to, you know? Like,
so you think Strong Style,
they're hot right now. I say keep eyeing on them. Sendai Girls had their shine last year with the Girls vs. Girls.
And we don't know what's going to happen with Calamari since... Yeah.
I would say...
I guess Strong Style could win. I wouldn't be surprised if Calamari pulled an upset off.
Since this is in England, give them, the fans, someone that they recognize. Yeah, they do recognize the majority of these guys, yes. But, at the same time, they're in England. Who do they know? British wrestlers. Who are the British wrestlers? Calamari and Strong Style.
All right.
That's how I see it. That's what I would do.
So we booked that with... that's actually going to be pretty good. It'll be interesting to see if Chikara can do the turnaround they did last year and have all the shows up this weekend.
Probably
last
would.
Year they had the day after, which was fucking ridiculous.
Unedited.
Yeah. All right, so you want to run through Battle of Los Angeles? All right. So the thing with Battle of Los Angeles is we don't know how the second round will turn out because they always mix up who's fighting who.
Yeah, we're just going
so
to have
realistically,
to just...
Realistically, we could only really book the first round and then essentially guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because we do this every just guess. But, like, now, like, the buzz around Battle of Los Angeles is non-existent. Like, when did we even hype it up? The names came out. Like, I tried to get behind it and just... I was worried about other things. I don't know. You think BWG is just off everyone's radar now? All the main indie guys work for Vince.
Yeah, I think a big problem right now is how spread out all these the indie guys are and who they're signing. So they're bringing in a lot of guys, I mean, who might be really, really good or some guys, you know, that are already leaving. So it's like usually this has a major of BWG who wins, but now you look at it and you go, are these guys even going to be able to dedicate any time to PWG? Because, like, Pentagon and Ray Phoenix wrestle PWG, but and they're tag teams, but they're not on, like, every show, and they can't be.
And I think they just said that the Young Bucks are not going to be on night one.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know. But
they probably
yeah.
have stuff they got to do, you know, because they're technically they have two different contracts. I mean, they're basically almost a promo. New Japan for a little bit, so it's probably a Ring of Honor thing. I don't know. All right, but I'm ready to write this down.
First little bit of news: TK Cooper cannot be here on the Battle of Los Angeles. So he's being replaced by the bad boy Nella, who I thought was in the first fucking place. But
yeah, that's how much we've been paying attention.
my God. We don't even, yeah, you're right. First round, they call him Cage, the effing machine. Frank Cage going up against Desmond Xavier. Seems like he has a lot of these matches with big guy going against little guy that can flip. Shit. Do we give it to Brian Cage here?
I guess so. Xavier. You're not quite sure because, I mean, whatever they're called now. And will make time to be a PWG regular, so it's possible that Xavier can be the upset guy in PWG regular too, but who knows?
You know what? Let's give it to Desmond Xavier.
I kind of agree with you.
Fuck it.
Let's Are you there with that. Us, Doomsday?
Yeah, I'm with y'all.
All right. To Desmond Xavier advances. Next match is Sammy Guevara going up against Joey Janela, the replacement for DK Cooper. You think the replacement goes over? Because I'm
picking Joey Janela because he's a bad boy.
Right.
Guevara's wrestled one show so far. I've never seen some tweets saying they really liked him, so who knows? I mean, it's essentially a guy making his debut versus a guy having his second match who had a pretty decent buzz.
Yeah. I mean,
safe money's on Janela.
Yeah, I'm picking Joey Janela here. Save money, like you said, save money. Ray Phoenix going up with Ray Horace, who is El Dragon Azteca Jr., I think?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is? Okay. Going up against Phoenix. Going with Phoenix.
Yeah. That's all I got, yeah.
Ray. Ray Phoenix.
Right, Ray Phoenix. Next up, TNA's Trevor Lee. I'm calling it TNA, I don't give a fuck. Trevor Lee is going up against Donovan Dijak.
Or as we're going to call him, headed to NXT Donovan Dijak.
Heading to NXT Donovan Dijak. So who would you, even though he's headed to NXT,
yes.
Do you think Trevor Lee is going to win this match?
See, here's the thing is, Trevor Lee's made it to the final, level. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that they pull an upset with Dijak. Well, Dijak's huge. I'm not sure it'd be an upset, but... I mean, they could fuck around and put Dijak over Lee. It wouldn't matter. But at the same time, Lee's been around long enough that if anybody's owed a shot at a title, I would put Lee, too. I don't know. I mean, save money's on Lee upsets Dijak. I guess we fuck around and give it to Dijak.
Yeah, I'm down with it. Doomsday, you down with it?
Yeah, with the Brown.
All right, so we're going to keep this. Donovan Dijak is going to advance. The people that you wrote down already, we're going to move that to the quarterfinals, so like one triple threat at the end. So keep that right there. We might as well just keep going down until we get to the finals for them, and then we go to the next bracket. Is that cool?
Whatever, man. Just give me the match, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I'm going with whatever you're saying.
Desmond Xavier versus Joey Janela.
Desmond Xavier.
I'm going with Xavier. Yeah, I think Joey Janela. I think it's gonna be match of the night.
If this match happens,
Desmond Xavier over.
All right. No, that sounds good to me.
Phoenix versus Donovan Dijak.
Phoenix hasn't gotten out of the second round yet of the tournament. He lost in the first round his first year, and he lost in the second round his second year. So I see him beating Dijak personally.
Okay. So, Phoenix advances. So, the semifinals for that bracket will be Desmond here going up against Phoenix. Nice. Xavier's going to be working a lot. So, who's winning, Xavier or Phoenix?
Well, Phoenix is already tag team champion. I wouldn't want to put him in. I would not give a shot at the title. That's what I'm saying. He can beat Xavier, but he would lose. But then again, this is Xavier's first tournament, and Adam Cole is the only one who's went all the way to the finals and won. Wait, no, he's the only one who's won. I guess some guys went all the way to the finals, so it's possible.
Trevor Lee got pretty far at that time when he pinned Elgin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got pretty far. He think he got to the semis, but he didn't go to the finals. He did get far.
It would be a shock to see Xavier go to the finals. I wouldn't be mad at it. Phoenix is the safe choice again.
Yeah, and Xavier, it would definitely rise his stock. It would, because we already know who this is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Xavier going to the finals.
What about you, DJ? Who is Xavier or Phoenix?
I got Phoenix.
All right, so we're
Phoenix. It is. Phoenix is into the finals on that bracket one.
All right, moving so on. We're going Phoenix. Then. Okay. Bam.
Yeah, Phoenix it is. First up, get two. The villain, Marty Skrull, going up against Flash, Morgan Webster. Well, I've seen Russell a couple of times, and he's actually pretty damn entertaining. Both of these guys are big guys. So this match should be a pretty entertaining, but I'm going with the villain, Marty Skrull.
Sure. He's not.
No, he's not. I'm winning the whole thing. Hell no. No one has won the Battle of Los Angeles back-to-back, let alone twice. So, Marty Skrull advances. Jeff going up against Sammy Callahan, the AEW Heavyweight Champion. Doomsday, who you got, Jeff Cobb or Sammy Callahan?
I got Callahan. He's got some pull in that shit. You know he's gonna advance.
I got Jeff Cobb. I don't know why, but I think see him.
Are we doing this as a tiebreaker? Am I supposed to pick a tiebreaker right here?
Yeah.
Honestly, I
tell no draws. I get no first round buy.
I see how Callahan can beat Cobb, but then Callahan lost. Well, they both lost. Did they? Wait, was Cobb in last year's?
Let me see.
I have it up. Well, hold on. I can check.
Duh, I don't.
Yeah, they both lost round one last year.
Oh, yeah, he lost to Cody Rhodes, though. So, I see why he lost there.
You know what?
Jeff Cobb lost to Ricochet. He's 90. Yeah, so.
I would Doomsday and go Callahan then.
All right, well, Jeff Cobb, you are out of the first round. Sammy Callahan advances. Next up, Matt Sydal versus Pentagon Jr. I'm still going to call him Pentagon, not Pentagon Dark, or the L-Zero, fuck, he's Pentagon Jr. Matt Sydal versus Pentagon Jr. So, who do you have winning this match?
Penta?
No, just Pentagon.
Penta Olma.
That guy. Yes, he is advancing. Next up is the bro, Matt Riddle, going up against the big bro, Big Mike, Michael Elgin. Riddle is pretty hot right now, but Michael Elgin is a Japan wrestler now. So who would go over in match?
I think Riddle is the choice here. I mean, he lost first round last year. And if Elgin loses and Cage loses, they can do a tag match one night, so it's fine.
Okay. Choosing Matt Riddle.
Yeah, gotta go with the bro, man.
Gotta go with the bro. All right, so the next fight, Marty Skrull, Sammy Callahan. Callahan. Doomsday?
Callahan.
Wow. I'm sorry. So Callahan advances. Next up, Pentagon Jr. versus Matt Riddle. And I don't believe these guys wrestled before. To my knowledge, they probably have, but I've never seen it before. So who do you have, Westside, Pentagon Jr. or bro?
I have Riddle, honestly.
I got Riddle, too. Now, happened like last year or the year before when Pentagon was super hot. Yeah, but right now I think it's Riddle's turn. And he will be going to the semis to face Sammy Callahan. So Tuesday we got Sammy Callahan on Matt Riddle.
I got a guy.
Oh, because he got pulled.
Matt Riddle.
No, because he's bro.
Ah, pull over. No, bro over pull.
Yeah, bro over pull.
All right, so bro, we got pull. We got Phoenix and Matt Riddle in the finals of the Battle of Los Angeles. Now for bracket, Jonah Rock versus Zack Sabre Jr., the former PWG heavyweight champion. So I don't know much about Jonah Rock. Just wrestling. And he used to hang with MDK. Well, TMDK.
TMDK might have
been
on me.
Yeah. So he used to hang with the boys. But can he get over the technical wizard, Zack Sabre Jr., who is now, what, Zacky Two Belts, I think? Still reproaching?
Yeah, he's still got two, I think.
I think he's got two.
But yeah, I got Zacky Two Belts.
All right, I got Zack Sabre Jr.
See, here's the thing is, I know we're booking safe, but well, I guess they count Xavier as being the big upset in round one, right?
Mm-hmm. And we still ain't done. We still got some more.
Yeah, but I'm looking at these others, too. But, all right, fine, I'm putting DSJ down here.
All right. Zack Jr. advances. Next up, former Progress Smash Champion Mark Haskins going up against Kiwi Buzzsaw Travis Banks, who won the Super Strong Style Tournament 16. No, Super Strong Style 16 Tournament and a part of WCPW. I cannot pick a winner here. So, Westside, I'm going to ask you, who do you have Mark Haskins?
I've never seen Travis Banks wrestle, so I got to go with Haskins.
Okay. And Doomsday?
Yeah, I got to go with Haskins.
Haskins. Okay. Almost Mark died. Haskins advances because no knowledge of Travis Banks. Next up is Ricochet going up against Flamita. And I never seen him wrestle, but he's a Lucha Libre guy.
I'm going to call this as an upset, mainly because Flamita's got... People have been waiting for Flamita to work the stakes, like, real.
Yeah.
So I'm... And, you know, Ricochet's done enough of these and won enough first rounds, so I think he could take L in the first round for once.
All right.
He beat Cobb last year, for God's sakes.
Why is there so many names in this?
Who booked this fight? One battle in Los Angeles already.
Yeah.
So I'm picking Flamita to upset.
Yeah, I guess Flamita.
Flamita is definitely going to beat King Ricochet. Last match of the first round. Three, Keith Lee. The Limitless. Keith Lee going up against Walter. Big Daddy Walter.
Big Daddy Walter is supposed to be a really good one, but I've never seen him.
I saw him.
I think he's in the same group as Thatcher. I think that same group.
Oh, yeah, the ring camp shit.
Yeah. And I think he's a Progress Atlas champion, too. He beat Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Keith Lee is... He's a good pick.
Yeah, I'm going.
I'm going with Keith Lee.
Man, okay. I think okay. How about this? I'll say Keith Lee wins this match. Ooh, okay. So Keith Lee is going in Flamita.
Shouldn't we do Zack Sabre Jr. versus Haskins? Sure, let's jump in.
It don't matter. This is both going somewhere. It ain't matter.
Order. And we don't know any of these.
Don't know jack shit about these matches at all. Nope. This is all just freestyling right now. That's the best.
All right. Well, Keith Lee should Flamita just, like, fall on him.
Well, I did see Keith Lee lose to Ricochet before, too, with, like, a cradle, like, small package type move.
But I think he's got the... buzz behind him to win.
Yeah, Keith should win this match, but it should be fun. A lot of big guys versus small guys in this tournament. But Keith Lee, you're going to advance next up. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Mark Haskins.
I'm going to go with Haskins to upset.
Doomsday, what you got?
What was it again?
Sabre Jr. and versus Mark Haskins.
Yes.
Damn it. Shit. Zack Sabre Jr. I can't knock his skill. But final Zack Sabre Jr. going up against Keith Lee.
Oh, he gonna kill him again. It's gonna be Keith Lee.
I'm gonna say Keith Lee.
Alright.
Finals. We have the Limitless Keith Lee going up against the Bro. Matt Riddle going up against Phoenix. Hey, Phoenix. So who's in the Battle of Los Angeles out of those three?
Riddle.
Matt Riddle. It's going to be Brola.
Ooh. Matt Riddle it is. I see Phoenix getting eliminated first. Or Keith Lee getting eliminated first. Both of them might work on them together. And finally, it'll be Phoenix versus Bro, and Bro gonna win. That's something like that. If they beat the finals, because we're never right on this, because they mixed up their brackets so bad.
I guarantee we're gonna have one of these guys right.
One of these
Riddle or Keith Lee are gonna be in the finals.
Okay, I think that's the mission that we just basically aimed for. One of these three are going to be in the finals of the battle. You can bet your bottom dollar.
Watch
Marshall
win it two times in a row to fuck with us.
Probably. Ain't that a fuck, bitch? Yeah, that's Battle of Legends. Y'all give a fuck? Give a fuck?
Nope, not really. I haven't gave a fuck in like 3-4 years.
Yeah.
So, news time?
News.
Who's got the news?
Well, let me go through mine real quick. Yeah. First of all, Kenny collecting this, are the main important star ratings for the New Japan Climax, the G1 Climax. The three mates for that last weekend. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Tetsuya Naito got 5 stars. Tanahashi has now had a 5-star match every year since 2012. Next up, we got Omega versus Kazuchika Okada, number 3. You guys want to guess what this got? No?
No.
7 stars!
Oh, Lord.
I'm lying.
Okay.
Don't do that.
He got 6 stars. 6 stars.
Really? Yeah, again?
He got 6 stars.
Yeah. He's not taking any of that like seriously.
Yeah, he's ruining it on purpose.
He's being an ass.
According to Meltzer, he said that it used to only be a 4-star rating until, I believe, the mid-80s. And then it became a 5-star rating with some, I think, the Jerry Lawler match of all things. Lawler, Terry Funkers. So, I mean, I have no problem with the idea that every couple few decades it moves up a star, because but this in a quarter is what bothers me. But that gets to Naito versus Omega. You guys want to take a guess what this got?
5.
Higher.
5.5.
5.7.
5.5 stars.
Oh, shit.
So, I'm just going to assume that 6 stars is the real rating and 6.25 is just a fucking joke. Now on.
Yeah.
I'm still booking everything on a 5-star rating. Until, you know, I find a match that makes me think, okay, fine, 6 stars it is. But I wanted to bring that up. I thought that was his name. All right, and now to Lucha Libre news. Get to CMLL. I mean, sorry, AAA. CMLL and Crap come to a deal that will allow Rush and his father, Pearl, to do some shows for Crash Lucha. As you know, CMLL just fired a bunch of Rush partners, so that kind of works out for him. And that gets a way to keep one of their top stars happy. Next up, we have the big, some big AAA news. I didn't actually watch, but I was listening to people's responses. It was actually free on Twitch. The show was apparently like 6 hours long, though, because that, you know. Most matches sounded like garbage, but like a beautiful train wreck garbage, if you know what I mean. The main event was the match between Dr. Wagner and Nano. And Dr. Wagner lost his mask.
Yeah, I saw.
52-year-old guy. If you guys remember Haina Kirana from Tumblr, who's not on there anymore, she was watching AAA for the first time ever, and now she's a huge fan of Unmasked Dr. Wagner.
He looks like the most interesting man in the world from those Dos Equis commercials.
Yeah, except, he looks like the guy who fit. Was the wrestling most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
All
right,
so yeah, there was that. But the big news is that people really, really fucking hate Sexy Star.
Yes.
Go on for a while.
Including Mo Magic.
Yeah. So this is the thing. It was a Four Corners match for the title that had to give up. It was Ayomada, Lady Shani, Rosemary, Sexy Star. Now, apparently, Sexy Star, at least Sexy Star, Hamada, and Lady Shana all have beef with each other to some sort of degree. And Rosemary was the, even though she has the demonic assassin gimmick, was, in real life, the nicest woman in this match. Sexy Star, being how small she is in comparison to Ayaka Hamada and Lady Shani, not really go off on either of them, and we know Hamada would whoop her fucking ass. So Sexy Star took her frustration off on Rosemary after hitting her with a move. She held on to, I believe, a Fujiwara armbar longer than she needed to, and popped Rose out of place. Backstage, they apparently told Sexy Star she should apologize to Star rather than other people, and they fucking people went off, including other Lucha Underground people, Cage and Sammy Callahan, a number of people from GFW, Cody Rhodes, has vowed that she will never work any company he's a part of. The Dog, who is an agent on SmackDown, wanted verification to make sure that Six Star will never get anywhere near the WWE. And there was an announcement that Sexy Star was removed from the upcoming wrestling show in October, where she will be replaced with Rosemary. And this announcement got a like from Lucha Underground and Triple A wrestler Aerostar. Because apparently everybody in AAA, the owners, hate Sexy Star. This is the LaFarca of AAA straight Sexy Star. None of them wanted her back in the locker room.
Yo, that's the funny thing about this is that she, I could have sworn she was gonna retire.
Right, she took her mask off and was gonna be a boxer?
Right.
Yeah.
We all thought she was gonna go. And then now she comes back and pulls this type of bullshit. But I remember you always saying that there were Mexican female wrestling and wrestling way better than her. And I didn't really take that too seriously until this went down. Then I got to thinking, like, yeah, she is fucking trash.
Yeah, I mean, Sexy Star is a very generic wrestler. I thought the way they did her in Lucha Underground was really good.
Yeah.
But we see her in the ring with someone of the talent of an Ayaka Hamada or a Fabi Apache. It's clear that Sexy Star is by far a generic luchador. I mean, Suhai is another kind of generic one, but she has far more experience and she's a far safer than Sexy Star is. I mean, of the Mexican women I've seen wrestle, I still think Bobby and Mari Apache are probably the two best working if you don't count Ayaka Kamada because she's Japanese. But Rosemary's injury turned out to be not as bad as they thought. She will still be out for at least a month, maybe longer. The Irishman will be wrestling on this WrestleCade show, which is in October. But they announced that she will be appearing live.
So, that's fucked up because she's like, she fucked with someone's livelihood for like no reason, you know?
Yeah.
That's a month worth of like pay that you could have had, you know?
There was actually an interesting, one of the best tweets about it was EC3, who actually retweeted Donald Trump's thing about the list. Oh, a Sexy Star's match!
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But, yeah, she got pretty well, nobody likes her. And sort of an avoidance on AAA's part, because Vampiro was supposed to talk about it, but his whole Facebook point ended up being some sort of rant about Dave Meltzer. It didn't really mean anything. Dave Meltzer was like, why are you taking this opportunity to come at me? You're supposed to be talking one-on with Sex Star. Apparently, Vampiro was pretty weird throughout the AAA Mania thing. He started a chant for himself, apparently, at Triple Mania.
Wow.
Jeez.
What is wrong with that?
Yeah. Overall, bored. The show was apparently pretty decent because of a handful of matches. But, it was freak or something. And apparently it also got props for being better than the last two.
Yeah, because those were fucking train wrecks.
Trash.
That's the reason I didn't bother with this one, because I was like, yeah, the other ones are fucking trash. Why do I even bother with this?
Yeah, apparently all you need to do to have a good Triple Mania is have a decent main event and be better than the last one. That made better. Though, I haven't really watched. Actually, week I have been watching some Lucha Libre because Elgin, Juice Robinson, or Darren LL for the grand coming up, as well as Matt Taven. So they're doing a very Team Mexico versus Team World thing, and the heat is awesome. And it's interesting to see Elgin and Juice Robinson work heel because they are healing it up pretty bad. They're booking Elgin as a serious deal. Lador Jr. finally got Elgin out of elimination match they were doing the other night. Juice Robinson is a really weird heel, though. Keeps taking off that belt he wears on his tights.
Does he whip people with it?
Not really. People steal it from him and then whip him.
Oh.
And I think I haven't watched much Matt Taven in Ring of Honor, but he is over a heel in Mexico.
I heard he's been pretty good in Mexico.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of trio work with Robinson Taven and Kenny King and Satoshi Kojima should be down soon. They're wrestling the Grand Prix, and both of them have some other matches involved, too. Kenny King is actually going to be like the first black wrestler to work in CMLL in quite some time, actually.
Really? Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, I don't think... I,
I guess it's because the Mexicans are really pretty racist against anyone who isn't Mexican or white. Because that's how Dio got his eye gimmick, is because even though they love their Japanese wrestlers down in Mexico, they always book them as evil Japanese wrestlers, and they're pretty trash about it.
Okay.
So, like the Japanese wrestlers love wrestling in Mexico, but it's still, and you know, they're not racist outside, apparently, because, you know, there's Japanese actually do live in Mexico, but when they're wrestling, then they're racist as fuck. You know, like wrestling. But yeah, so Kenny King's gonna be like the first black guy to win all year, so congrats to him. And that is all I have for him.
He was doing it big, man.
He's correcting his career off.
Yeah, it's a weird path for him, because, like, he was a former Tough Enough competitor, then he was also a Chippendales dancer, indie wrestler, TNA guy, bachelorette guy, and now he's got a
CMLL. He can do it all, yo.
Yeah. He's been all over the place, man.
Probably be a plumber, or at least the son of a plumber.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Bruno Mars. You heard the news with him, and it's surprisingly wrestling-related. I had no idea. Apparently, he met Bruno Sammartino this past week. And revealed that the reason he is Bruno Mars is because that's what he was nicknamed. He was nicknamed Bruno based off of Bruno Sammartino. So that was interesting. Yeah, so up with one of the class WWF belts. So I thought cool. What else? Big Cass over the weekend. I think it was not over the weekend. It might have been Thursday. Yeah, past last Thursday night. He successfully had surgery on his knee because you know how that shit went with Enzo in their match that happened. And Carmella was out, so hopefully he can have.
Did she have to be in the bank briefcase with her?
That'd be funny, but yeah, seriously, this may be a long road for Big Cass, because he's a bigger dude, and knee injuries for bigger guys it takes a little longer to like get back from, you know. So hopefully he can do that and be in better shape. Speaking of other people, I don't think this is a spoiler. Everybody heard it all over the internet, but Asuka relinquished the NXT Women's title. Apparently she had a collarbone injury or whatever. So she's out. So she loses her title and has never been beaten till.
Yep. That's terrible. What happened if she comes back and is like, yo, whoever's the champion? Give me my.
The rumor is she's not going back to NXT when she cleared.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Yeah, might as well. She'll literally be the best female wrestler NXT has ever had. Charlotte has been bumped away. Sasha Banks has been torn down by the main roster.
Yep.
And who is Bayley again? And they had a fourth person. I can't even remember her. But Asuka.
Man.
Look at that.
Besides that, some fun stuff happened. Enzo was all over social media and shit, because
how you doing?
Like throughout last week and during the weekend, he was taking pics with celebs. I think Mojo Rawley was with him and some of that. He ended up in an illusion with David Blaine. Ended up taking pics with like Steve Harvey, Diddy, Chance the Rapper, Jeremy Piven, freaking Jox, Jeff Ross, Dave Chappelle, Ed Norton, Quali, that comedian Godfrey, and a whole bunch of other random celebs and whatever. And he was at the McGregor Mayweather fight, and of course he had to try to stomp people, and he flashed his ticket. Apparently his ticket for that fight cost $10,000.
Jesus,
ten fucking K.
Yeah, and I watched most of it for free, so it was the smart one. Watch that?
No, I saw like the last bit of that last fury that Mayweather had against McGregor that got him the TKO. That was it.
Yeah, I got cut off because this girl on this woman on Instagram was just streaming it on her live things. I'm like, Yeah, I'll watch it.
People were streaming it on their live. There were people streaming it on Periscope.
Yeah. And then she, like, dropped it, and then I went on and found a different stream, and I caught the end. So I missed, like, maybe one middle round. But, I mean, I guess it was okay. I can't really judge season movies. I've watched boxing matches, to be honest with you.
Right, a lot of people were saying...
I knew what Mayweather mean right after the first couple rounds anyway.
Yeah, yeah, he was just waiting for him to tire out. That's strategy, man. That's that strategy.
Yeah. But, there was way much hugging going on.
Yeah, hugging from the back. Yeah. there was a meme for that, like, they superimposed their bodies on the Titanic. Oh, that shit. But yeah, of course, Mayweather won that shit. Congrats. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, what else went down? One funny thing on social media. Apparently, the Tim and Eric Show had their 10th anniversary special, and Joey Janela tweeted how awesome it was, how he's watching it again and whatever. And Tim Heidecker of Tim and Eric retweeted it. And that was the only retweet from any fan or whatever that show that he tweeted. So that was cool. It's awesome. And I think what did he say? He said something that I think he replied. Besides, it was a quoted tweet, so it was like, "'Cause you're a bad, bad boy." So I thought that was funny. And of course, last the news, which is pretty awesome for him. Guess who is the new GHC heavyweight champion for Noah?
I mentioned it a little earlier.
Yeah.
Eddie Edwards.
Eddie Edwards, man.
They didn't even know people even cared about the GHC title like that.
They don't. But the company now, the company's still struggling.
Yeah, it's pretty much dying.
And they have some good talent. I don't know. I mean, you got like DDD, BJW. A bunch of the women's promotions are outselling Noah. I think that they've just. I mean, I've read some reviews. A lot of complaints tend to be that sometimes the main events just seem like the. There's like a 30-minute, like they're at least 25 minutes or 30 minutes. Like they go longer than they necessarily need to. Their undercard matches just don't really.
They just haven't hit on
some sort of strategy. They can't have the kind of where you get from a BJW or a DDT. And they've had so many down periods where versus a lot of other companies. Like, the women's promotions basically had to work from the bottom up, and they're basically been consistent for part.
All Japan
is doing well right now too. So there's that.
Yeah, because All Japan has some as heavyweights now these days.
I've never seen Kento Mahara wrestle. People swear to God he's the best wrestler not in New Japan.
Yeah, I keep hearing about him too. Yeah.
Yeah, and Joe Doring's apparently back active, and their current champion is a freelancer who's pretty good, who works DDT BJW. So, you know, he's over the place, and that kind of puts the title out there. So, and they got the junior division building up right now too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's cool that Eddie Edwards won the title, and he's been on and off with Noah for years.
Yeah.
That's actually the first time I heard about him. Was looking at a Noah show and seeing his name, and like, who the fuck names himself Edwards? And it was my same opinion about heard of them Noah. But I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Nakajima, even though Noah's had problems, really did like Nakajima's run as champion.
I think the problem with Noah is that they just lack star power, man. Where's the star power? Like, they don't have any stars. But they have guys that can wrestle great, but have stars, you know?
Yeah. I mean, their biggest star is probably Mar Fuji. I mean, not Nakajima's a well-liked guy, but he's not a money drawer. They don't have money drawers right now. Like, Mar Fuji could probably draw money in a different company than Noah. People are just so down on Noah, it doesn't matter. They would need a big name to come in and do something. And then the Suzuki Gun thing ran on too long, too.
Yeah.
I mean, at this rate, the only thing that could save Noah is if Shibata decides to go to that company instead.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. P. Noah.
Yeah.
Actually, you never know, they could bounce back, but I don't know.
Yeah, they might, but they're gonna need something.
Yeah, they need some help.
I mean, obviously, New Japan has their own problems. New Japan can bitch about their tag division. They have like five top guys. Noah doesn't have a top five guy. They don't have a tag division. They might have a top two or top three junior heavyweight guys. But Japan's got Kushida, Ospreay, Hirumu, Bushi. I mean, and Ricochet. And Taguchi. Shit, they got a top six junior guys in fucking New Japan. Right into the fucking main event 2,000 seat place stats. Get your shit together. But they are going to get picked in and beat. Well, Phoenix is actually going to sometimes.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, get shit together. But, yeah, that's it for me for news and shit. I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, I think that means we're done.
Yeah. Only note I have is that the first WCBW World Cup tournament, the finals was Ospreay versus Kushida. And, you know, he's a New Japan guy, so he went automatically.
Ospreay ever being Kushida?
No.
He can't beat him in his home country. What the fuck is that?
And I thought they was going to give it to Will Ospreay. I really did.
I mean, let's be honest, Kushida should be the number one guy.
He was in the hub lot. And he got to the ropes, and when he got to the ropes, the crowd thought he won the match. Because they popped so loud because Ospreay broke the hole.
But it was that God's last gift. What is he called?
The Back of the Future.
He called it Back of the Future. And he won that. You know, so Kushida won their first ever World Cup. But I'm glad the tournament is a success. They had some new guys I've never seen before. That's why I saw that Flash Morgan Webster guy. You know, and it was cool.
I've seen Flash Morgan Webster thing 2 or 3 years ago in Shikara. He was okay.
Yeah, he was cool. Nice personality. That's about it.
I mean, swear to God, if he just had a great fucking year. I mean, he had a awful first 4 months, but then he wins the TV title in Ring of Honor. He wins Best Super Years for a second time, 5-star match with Ospreay. And then he wins his title back from Hiroki. I mean, he's having a great fucking year.
Is he going to be Wrestler of the Year with all these accomplishments?
He's not going to be Wrestler of the Year.
Well, I think Ricochet everybody was one time because he was on fire.
No, like, I would put him five Wrestler of the Year for sure.
Yeah, he was extra. Like that one year, I think he won Battle of Los Angeles. He won Super Juniors. I believe. I don't know if Lucha Underground in 2014. I'm not sure, but I know he's Lucha Underground champion. He had a lot going for him. He was my Wrestler of the Year at that time. But Kushida on fire. I don't know what else he cannot do. And he's not in Battle of Los Angeles, so probably would have won that too.
Yeah, I wonder what PWG probably also needs to start bringing in some. It's interesting they've dipped their foot into the British wrestling. I think partly because the Mexican wrestling because they can worry less about those guys getting signed to the WWEs. Well, not worry as much, but you know those guys have to travel over borders and get work does and shit. So if they're going to do that, why haven't they dipped into trying to get some of the Japanese guys? Not necessarily dudes, but there's indie guys in there. Why haven't they brought back any Dragon Gate dudes?
Right.
The Dragon Gate just forgotten as Noah.
But Dragon Gate actually has people onto their show. I think the Dragon Gate is they don't have their own streaming service. So you don't realize how well they're doing. Because I've heard people say they are actually the second top promotion in Japan. They still sell out shows.
I might gotta go to them.
We still care about Dragon Gate. We just don't hear as much. I guess they're maybe dumb. But I guess because All Japan has been such a DDT, he's got streaming service. DJW has all the crates. Kind of. Dragon Gate kind of gets forgotten. But in the country, they're doing really well. They got a working relationship. Why don't they bring Shingo in?
Shingo.
Shingo's actually going to be teaming with one of the guys for BJW's tag tournament coming up, too. So.
Oh, and I hope WWE does a tag team. That's my next guess. I'm still praying that.
No, they got to do the Asian tournament and the Japanese tournament next.
What is the Asian tournament? I think most of their tournament diversity in them. The women's one and the cruiserweight one, so.
Maybe
and they did a UK tournament, right? So I guess. But the tag team gotta be in the works. Yeah, they can do the Japanese tournament like how they did the UK
I think it's Asian
tournament. January?
They're gonna do it as an Asian tournament. My question is, how
they can have that in January, like how they did the UK tournament this year in January.
And
in the mid,
but
in the mid, they can have
the tag team. Do they film it in Japan or do they film it in China?
Full Sail.
Full Sail.
They're gonna know who those guys are.
They're not gonna know any of those Malaysian wrestlers they were looking.
I don't know. They might. I want a tag team one. Tournament. I would have said G1. Most of them aren't even Asian anymore. It's just the same guys. Some of them are British. Some of them American. Not for the Japanese tour, so.
It's going to have Chinese guys and Malaysian guys, pretty sure. Who else are going to throw into an Asian title tournament?
Yeah, well, we don't know. But we can end it right here. It's dragging on a little long.
My fault.
All right. You can find me on Instagram, where I'm posting random Halloween shit that I got from the job.
Getting ready for the season.
I'm not buying any of this stuff, so I like to share it. I'm on Instagram /WestsidePeriodGoth. Also on Twitter, but follow me on Twitter. I changed the name from Westside Goth to my name, so there's that. CM Towns, because I used to make fun of CM Punk like that. Because those are my initials. So Twitter.com/CM Towns, where you can hear me basically tweet about how much I'm pissed off and retweet wrestling.
And how bad the Death Note thing is on Netflix, which I'm still going to watch.
That's the only reason people that movie's going to do fine is Black. Swear to God, that movie came out to theaters, no one would really care.
Oh, hell no.
People are like, well, I got Netflix, new, whatever.
Right. Yeah. But, dude, that you going to plug?
Oh, yeah. Rat Ear Radio. You can check them out at Rat Ear Radio on Twitter. Of course, the website is us Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, the flagship podcast, The Rant, featuring Nath and Geeks, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And you can also check out past episodes in Rant EM Radio's archives. For me, you can check me out at doomsday519.tumblr.com. I got a new video posted on there because I got my lap again. To that last dragon neon guts matchup thing.
And watched the same day you put that up.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny because you had apparently you had added me on like Instagram about last dragon. I called.
Yeah,
and I was like,
well, you know, I like to post what I'm watching.
I was like, I just uploaded something about that's the last dragon related. Yeah, we talk about last dragon a lot on this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Quick, catch the DuckTales episodes if you guys didn't see them, the special.
DuckTales?
Yes.
Yeah,
DuckTales. I heard it was good.
Yeah. Like the new, it was an hour episode, like it was good.
So new episodes of DuckTales. Vamp shit.
Yeah, the season starts at the end of September, but they did the first two episodes. I grew up watching Disney Toons, so, I mean,
yeah,
DuckTales
was
my favorite, but I liked it. So
I watched this podcast called Double Toasted, and... Like, two of the guys were talking about, like, stuff, like, nostalgia stuff that came up. And then they mentioned DuckTales. And I was like, shit, they brought that back, too? Because, like, they also brought back, Rocko's Modern Life is coming back.
Hey, Arnold
coming back. Yeah. Yeah, they mentioned both.
The only thing I don't like about DuckTales is the voice of Launchpad McQuack. But that's, like, a minor note.
But, besides my, Tumblr, you can check me out at, Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube as my primary channel, second Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in, PWG's Gorilla, for that. Also, I uploaded that Last Dragon Neon Guts thing on that YouTube channel as well. You could also check me out at Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at JoeyDuna519 on Snapchat. though.
Alright.
He's rocking a Misawa shirt when he's hitting with that roaring, I believe it's Dan Hansen with that roaring elbow.